Hey, welcome back to another edition of AFK Discussions. It's your boy Jason. Phil's out of town this week. So first off, I want to say, go check us out wherever you do social media, Instagram, Facebook, X, wherever that is. Go check us out and make sure you subscribe. Also, if you're listening to this, please give us a 5-star review and subscribe. I'm going to get right into it today because we have a really, really, really cool episode. And this is my guest, Gina. How's it going?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. So you had quite an experience lately, right?
Yes. Very wild.
Yeah, real quick before we get into that, can you tell everyone where they find you?
Yes, my name is Gina Black, and you can find me on Instagram and TikTok as @shehaunts.
Awesome. Guys, go check it out. Make sure you subscribe, like, follow, all the good stuff. So let's get right into it because I am really, really interested by this. I saw your post. I did not read into everything because, you know, I want to hear it straight from you because it seems like just like a crazy, crazy experience.
It was definitely very out of the normal for me. And it was my first very significant spirit attachment on an investigation.
Gosh, that's something I never want to experience, is I never want to bring something home with me. So, okay, let's just get into it because my mind is reeling now. I'm like, what, you know, what happened?
So, all right. So basically my team and I we had a night where we were investigating one of our regular locations. This is a spot that we have investigated dozens and dozens of times. It is a place that we oftentimes will host events, and so we'll have guests join us, and it's a very mild, I would say, as far as the spirit activity goes, a very mild property because there's nothing really negative, nothing nasty. There's mostly women and children, actually, so it's generally, I would say, very safe. So this was a very big surprise for me, and basically, my team and I were investigating the New River Inn on the property, which is Fort Lauderdale's first hotel. And inside this hotel, it's now a museum, and there are different floors. One floor is for artist lofts. The second floor is dedicated as a local museum, and the first floor hosts various different events. And we were at this time at the second floor, and as soon as we arrived, we noticed that the museum had a new exhibit. So sometimes they'll rotate seasonal exhibits, or they'll have some sort of traveling exhibit on display. And one of the investigators that I was with was very drawn to this particular exhibit, and it had artifacts from the railroad construction. Now, the property is just a stone's throw from the railroad, and many people that worked on the railroad stayed at the hotel. So having this exhibit was an interesting one for the museum. And in this room, there were a few artifacts such as a wheelbarrow, a hoe, and a kind of like a barrel that you would put materials in. And we were investigating this room. And as soon as we walked into the room, I noticed an energy shift. And I was feeling immediately, the only way I can describe it is a very mild vibration on my stomach. And it was almost as if I had my cell phone tucked into my belt or something, and you would feel just like a light vibration from that. But I didn't have my phone on me, so it wasn't on my body. So that was very strange. And I just immediately felt a little off. And I mentioned that to the other investigators, and almost as soon as it started, it stopped. So I felt comfortable continuing, and we decided to set up a REM pod. We had some EMF detectors and a laser grid set up against these objects. So we lowered the lights and we started investigating. And during this session, there were some responses on our REM pods that seem to correspond to questions. I would hear the REM pod go off, and I would ask, can you please step away from the REM pod? And then immediately, as soon as I ask, the REM pod would stop alarming. And I was filming all of this with my phone, and I noticed later on when I reviewed the evidence that there was a, it sounded like a very soft voice that was not of anyone in the room. So I think it was an EVP that I picked up on my camera's audio. The, I don't know exactly what it says. I'm not, I don't really have any theories. It definitely sounds like a couple of words, a few syllables, and nobody in the room was talking at the time. And I did check back in with, we had one other investigator that was doing a sweep of the floor, and you can actually hear footsteps in the video of him walking down the other end of the hallway. He was on the other side of the property. And he was not, you know, I asked him, were you happen to be talking? There's a possibility maybe your voice was picked up on the camera's audio. And he confirmed he was not talking. He was not on the phone or anything like that. He was just walking around the rooms, sweeping for EMF activity. So this voice was unaccounted for from our group. Now, right after this session, and I did send you the video so you can check that out. Right after this session, one of the other investigators decided to do what's called a Estes method session, where she was listening to noise-canceling headphones plugged into a spirit box, and she had a blindfold on. And during her session, she described a vibration feeling on her arm. Now, she normally doesn't do Estes sessions. She normally likes to observe them and ask questions. So this was one of the first times in a long time that she's done that. And she definitely felt affected from whatever energy was in the room as well. So after her session, we decided to kind of move away from the room because we were all kind of feeling a little uneasy about it. And we went on investigating the rest of the property for throughout the night. Now, towards the end of the night, you know, as the team was wrapping up, my husband came by and brought us all pizza, which was nice. We all kind of hung out. And we talked and we had pizza, and then I left with him. Everybody went their separate ways. We got home kind of late, so we pretty much just got home and went, you know, showered and got right into bed. So I would say I had fallen asleep, and at some point in my sleep, I had a really, really vivid dream. And in this dream, I woke up in my bed and I looked around my room, and I noticed my husband was sleeping next to me. And I had this overwhelming sense that there was someone in the room with me. And I ripped off the covers, I got out of bed, and I started investigating around the room in my dream. And I saw what appeared to be a man kind of crouched on the side of the bed next to where my husband was sleeping. So the other side were farthest away from me. And I'm looking over and I see him so clearly. I'm also an artist. I could probably sit down and draw a sketch of this man. That's how clear he was to me. He was about 6 foot tall, bald. He had on brown clothing. He was, I would say, probably early to mid 40s. And he had like a very sweaty appearance on his face, as if he was either, I don't know, running or some. I mean, the temperature was pretty cool in the room, so that was odd in my dream. And I wanted to scream, get out, but as, you know, sometimes in a dream, you can't really speak or you can't really run and things don't work the way they're supposed to. So in this dream, I'm screaming at him, I wanted to say, get out. I couldn't get the words out. And then I woke up in real life and I jolt up in bed and I'm visibly shaking and my heart is racing. And I look around and it's as if I just, you know, that I'm repeating that same motion. I just sat up in bed just like I did in my dream. And I'm breathing really heavy. I'm looking around. And immediately, I smell this really interesting smell. It smells, the only way I can describe it, is it smelled kind of like a whiff of body odor. Now, as I had said earlier, when I arrived home with my husband, we both showered. We both got into bed. We don't keep dirty laundry in the room. But just to make sure, I gave myself a little sniff. I kind of leaned over and I sniffed around my husband who was in bed, and it wasn't us. So I'm not sure where this smell was coming from. So I immediately get out of bed and I start, you know, because now I can't sleep. And I look around the room. I'm kind of sniffing around the room to see if I smell it. And I'm not smelling it anymore. That smell kind of it kind of wafted over me and then it was gone. So now I'm up, I'm walking around the house, I get water, I'm looking around, I'm smelling in all rooms of the house, trying to see if there's something that is the source of this smell. And I can't find anything. We had just done the laundry, the house has been cleaned, so there's really no source that I can locate. So what can you do? I get back to bed. I was really shaken up about it. And the following morning, I took out some sage. I opened up some windows. I opened the doors. And I cleansed my home by burning white sage. And since this has happened, I have not experienced anything else. But I am keeping my eye out, because just because you don't experience something right away doesn't necessarily mean that it's not there any longer. So I'm doing my best to kind of, you know, keep an eye out for that. And I do cleanse my home around once a month. But the spirit that I saw in the dream, it would make sense if, I mean, you know, because like I said, he was sweaty in appearance. So maybe that could have been what the body odor smell was. But it was just so vivid that, I mean, I can't really explain it. It just felt different than a regular dream. And I don't think that the man looked like he wanted to hurt me. He was kind of crouching like he was hiding, but not necessarily with a malice intent. He just looked like he was crouching down. So I have had some time to think about some theories, and I think he might have just followed me home, but I don't think he followed me with the intention of doing any harm. It might have been a confusion, or just, you know, someone being lost and not knowing where to go. So I did, when I cleansed, I did make sure that I said, you know, you must leave my house. You know, I don't have any, you know, I'm not allowing any spirits to be here. I wasn't trying to, you know, I wasn't treating as if it was anything horrible, but also being clear with my intent that person was not welcome. So that's my experience.
Gosh, that's so crazy. We'll get into it in a bit, but I've had similar experiences to that. Let's take it back a little bit. So I'm going to play the clip that you sent me, that kind of started all of this. So, now hopefully the audio will work. We had some minor difficulties. If not, I'm going to have to put it in post, but we'll see how this goes. And here we go.
Was it something you were forced to use?
Can you step away from that device, please? Thank you.
Would you like to share a message with us? Are you comfortable with us being here?
Are you confused? Do you not know where you are?
Is that the tone?
Not true. Are you touching that device right now? If you are, can you move away from it?
That's awesome.
Thank you.
I mean, it's awesome, but also it's, you know, can be scary because, you know, your experience later on. So I can hear that. It sounds like a male voice, like almost like a mumble, like that. You can't, like they're trying, but they can't get, you know, coherent words out of their mouth.
Right. But I think they were sitting or standing close enough to me to where that's coming in on my iPhone.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a little spooky.
Yeah, it is. Definitely. And another thing with the REM pod, because I've had some experiences with REM pods, that, you know, the REM pods can go off if you're like in proximity, but the closer you get, the higher the pitch. Mm-hmm. And it seems like that was pretty close to have it going off like that.
Yes, and all the cell phones were on airplane mode too at the time, so at least we can rule that out as being a cause. But I'm not exactly sure what would have set it off. It could have been something natural, but what was compelling was how as soon as I asked it to stop, it stopped both times.
Yeah, definitely. Yes, that's definitely a sign of intelligence. REM pods I mean, they kind of freak me out because, I mean, you know, because if especially if something's communicating, because, you know, there is that chance that it's picking up some sort of a radio wave or something, you know, is coming through, or like a temperature change, you know, sometimes that can affect them. But I mean, if you tell it to stop and it stops, there's no doubt that is definitely some sort of intelligence that you're communicating with. And it's, I mean, that's awesome evidence. I think that's, you know, undisputable that something was there.
Thank you. Yeah, it was just, and what's wild is this, like I said, we've investigated dozens and dozens of times. And this property, there are three different buildings, and usually this is the least active. But recently, with the uptick of rotating exhibits, we're noticing more and more. And this particular night, this room is normally dead. There's normally nothing going on in there. And something was clearly in the room, and, you know, it affected two different people feeling vibrations on their skin. And then the EVP, the REM pod, and then possibly the, because I don't want to say definitively something followed me home, because I didn't see anything with my eyes. I didn't hear anything with my ears, and I was asleep, but I did smell something. And it was a phantom smell, which if you've ever investigated and you've had that happen, it is so freaky because you cannot find a source. And, you know, I think that a common one is people smell cigar smoke, or people might smell a very strong perfume. And sometimes people smell sulfur, and without, you know, any source that makes sense for that kind of smell. And it's just a very odd thing to happen once in a while. And it's when these things all add up to when it starts to become more evident that it's paranormal.
Yeah. So and I think, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I think the body odor is such a exact smell. I mean, you cannot mistake the smell of body odor.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, especially, you know, like you said, your house is clean. All the clothes are clean. There's nothing that could be smelling that way. And that, I mean, that leads to, you know, being more of like a, you know, definitely a spirit smell or something. Because, I mean, like you said, you walked over the house, you didn't smell it anywhere else. It was just, when you went back into your room, was it gone?
It was gone. It was just immediate. And then I didn't smell it anymore, but I felt I had to get up and investigate around. And I didn't smell it again. It was just as soon as it came over me, it was gone.
That is so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I said, that body odor smell, I mean, it's, you know, it's, I don't know. It's definitely a creepy smell if there's no one around you. I mean, my first thought would be, I mean, did somebody like sleeping under our house or in our attic, and you smell, you know, the people not taking showers. I don't know. I'm just putting that out there. But yeah, that's so weird.
Yeah. I'm second story condos, and we don't have an attic or anything like that. So, and no basement. So there's not really any place I think a living person would be able to hide out, but
yeah,
it was freaky. And I've run across so many different scenarios in my brain, what it could possibly be. And of course, you know, the obvious, maybe it was just something I dreamed, but I was awake when I smelled that. And it was as soon as I smelled it, and it was very strong when I smelled it, and then it was gone. And like I said, the person I saw was covered in sweat. So I'm not sure if there's a connection or not, but it just certainly is one of those things that makes me think. And it's a little bit of a head scratcher.
I would say that there's definitely something to that. Seeing some, you know, like a sweaty person and then waking up and smelling that smell.
Yeah.
I would say it's more than a coincidence.
Yeah.
So this is my question. I don't know if you have an answer for this. So in my experience with dreaming and seeing something, I woke up and it was still there. Like when I opened my eyes, like I was dreaming that something was in my room, and I opened my eyes and I could still see it. It was an old lady. It was standing next to my bed, and I kind of went into that fight or flight mode, and I'm more of a fighter, so I like swatted at it, and then it kind of evaporated. And I don't know, I mean, is You know, I don't know what you call it. You know, like you can stare at like a sheet of paper with black ink on it for a long period of time, and then you move the paper and you can still see the black drawing or something afterwards. Now, is there something like that? I wonder if, like, if you're dreaming and you open your eyes and it's a black room, if you can still see like more like a holographic image of what you were dreaming. I don't know if that's possible. I mean, what do you think?
I think that sounds like a really cool experiment. And as someone who I love to try different experiments, I think that sounds like something that is worth checking out, because that could make sense for what was going on for you. And possibly, I mean, the mind is a powerful tool. The mind can, you know, play tricks. The mind can make things feel real. So, and that's why it's hard to say. It's hard to say, but I've never had a dream where I woke up and I was still seeing what I was seeing in my dream. That's never happened to me, but I think I would definitely try that experiment. I don't know what it's called either, but I know what you're talking about. And I think that would be an interesting thing to check out, to see if, and under a controlled circumstance, if you can duplicate that experience.
And that's not the first time it's happened to me. The other times, I don't remember what I was dreaming, but I woke up and there, I saw at one instance, I saw what looked like a goblin standing on my bed, which that was, very weird. And then one time I saw a Sasquatch in my room, like literally like head to the ceiling.
Oh, wow.
And that, I don't know how to explain that. I was on another podcast called Let's Get Freaky. And he said that someone else had said that they saw like an entity of a Sasquatch or a Bigfoot in their room.
That is so interesting.
I've never heard of that. I don't know if it's a thing, but if the creatures are, interdimensional or spirit beings, then that would make sense that they could, you know, I guess appear in your room or in your house. But yeah, it's very strange.
But that's so, that is such a cool experience. I mean, I'm glad it didn't try to hurt you or anything, but
yeah,
just observe too. That sounds like a really cool experience.
Yeah. And these, I mean, I can see them and then they'll sort of just like poof out into smoke almost.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. It's very strange.
You have to do an experiment now that you're telling me this, I need to know.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of weird things happen in my sleep. While we're on this subject, I don't mean to make it about me. My wife will wake me up and say that I'm casting out demons in my sleep. Like I'll be asleep, and I'll be verbally saying like, in the name of Jesus, get out of my house. I cast you out, and all this. I mean, it's weird. So, and I have no memory of it at all.
No dream or anything.
No, I don't remember anything that was happening. My wife, it freaks her out, you know?
Yeah, I bet. I would be a little freaked out too. Do you have sleep paralysis at all?
I do. I've never had sleep paralysis.
I've had that, and that's scary.
My wife has had sleep paralysis. And my wife has also felt things walking on her bed, and nothing will be there. At first, she thought it was our cats. But she made the next night, she made sure nothing was in our room. And she felt it, and it also felt bipedal, but small and like it was walking on the bed.
That's creepy.
So, and she's also felt the bed like vibrate. So the thing, I snore. I admit it, I snore. So
I do my too. Wife,
so she wants to go to sleep before I come in the room. That way, you know, my snoring won't, you know, if I'm in there and I'm snoring, she can't go to sleep. So I always stay up and watch TV. So the things she experienced was whenever she was in bed alone and I wasn't in there, like the walking on the bed and the bed vibrating. But I have also heard her nightstand, the drawer open and shut. And I asked her if it was her, and like she was dead asleep. I was like, hey, what are you doing? What are you looking for? You know, and she was asleep.
Do you think that your house might have some sort of activity?
I don't know. See, all that stuff's calmed down after, you know, what I was telling you beforehand, the voodoo whistle, after we got rid of that. So hopefully that was the, you know, the catalyst of, you know, what was going on. But, you know, also I just told you that last night I heard something that sounded like bare feet on our hardwood floor in a bedroom. So I don't know. Someone did pass away in our house though. So I do know that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what could be going on, honestly.
It doesn't feel negative though.
No, I mean, I've never feel fearful. My son though, he gets freaked out. He's 11 years old and he'll like come upstairs and get in bed with us because he's scared.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, there may be something, I don't know. My son is also in the past has seen things that no one else could see. Like he's like, oh, my grandfather's in the backyard and there would be, you know, nothing there. So yeah.
Cause I mean, sometimes, you know, if something's just existing and it's just there with you, I don't mind that kind of thing. I grew up in a house where my parents still live there, where there's at least one person, if not more, existing there. And as long as they're not messed with, they're, you know, just going about their day. And that doesn't really bother me, but it's not knowing that's a little scary. So I can see where if you're not sure, you know, certainly the origin, or if this is something that came in off of an object, or if this was something there from the start, I would say, of course, that could make a difference. Because if it's something coming off an object, you're not really sure where or what it is. And that's a little scary. Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. I do. I mean, I collect things, you know, like I collect old comic books. I buy stuff in thrift stores a lot of times, like old guitars and stuff. So who knows?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
One of those could have an attachment. I don't know.
It could be on anything, really.
Yeah.
I mean, even photographs. I mean,
yeah, definitely. Because some of the comic books I have are like from the 50s and mm-hmm. stuff. So I mean, who knows? Yeah, it's so weird. I mean, the supernatural is mind-boggling. That's why I love it so much, you know? Because I'm always trying to figure out, what could it be, you know?
Exactly.
So, yeah.
To me, it's like a treasure hunt, you know? It's just, we don't know. We're always looking for that answer. And
yeah.
It eludes everyone.
Yeah, definitely, 100%. So do you ever take any precautions, like after an investigation, to try to make sure something doesn't come home with you? And you know, on this instant, did you like just not do it? Or, I mean, is there anything like that could have happened?
So my theory is, I just think it was a little bit of a stronger energy because I'm wearing right now, I always wear this. I always wear black tourmaline. This is a protection crystal and I always wear it. I also wear some other protection crystals as well. I also ground myself before I arrive. And when I leave, I always say that, you know, any spirits that are here must remain here. You're not welcome to follow me home. And that has been, knock on wood, so far, it's been enough. And I just think that whatever this person was, perhaps was just a very strong entity because it was affecting two different people. And the other investigator said nothing had followed her home, thankfully. And I just think that it just maybe attached to me because it was confused on where it was, because I have no idea where these artifacts came from. I have no idea whose collection they were from. And so maybe they didn't understand why they were in the museum and they were looking for a way out.
That's true.
It's a very curious situation, but I do try to take precautions. And I think after this experience, I'm going to amp up my precautions. I'm most likely going to, you know, start saging again. I used to do that when I first started. And then I just felt that I didn't really need to do it anymore because I brought up my protection on my, you know, my own personal shield, through prayer and through meditation. So, but now I think I need to start adding those items back onto my checklist. So I'm going to be most likely saging, and also Florida water, if you've ever heard of that, is good to add. It's like a spiritual blend, and you can actually put it a couple drops in a bath, or you can, you know, wash your face, wash your hands with it. It's very strong. So I usually dilute it either in water or, you know, just drop a couple drops into the bath. And it's supposed to kind of act like sage, kind of remove any negative energy from you, protect your aura. So I do have that too, and you can actually buy that at places like CVS. You can buy Florida water.
Really?
It's with the perfumes.
That's very interesting. I didn't miss that.
Somebody told me about it years ago, and it just became part of my regimen for a while, and I'd still use it once in a while, so now it's going to go back into my ghost hunting backpack, and I'm going to be doing that more often. But I do think a lot of it is mindset, and as long as you're not fearful, and because a lot of times when you're fearful, you're giving your sense of power to another energy, and I think it's also important to, depending on what you believe in, to, you know, protect yourself with prayer and, you know, protect yourself. You know, I love to use crystals, whether they work or not. I feel better when wearing them. And I know that my energy transfers to those crystals, and those crystals make me feel better. So the only time I ever take them off is when I shower, and then I, you know, they're right back on. And I think that has a lot to do with it as well. But it's just, I do think that no matter what you do, there could be a situation where this could happen. And I just think that it doesn't have to be a panic mode, that you can take precautions to, you know, get rid of whatever it is. In my case, I just use sage. There's other methods that you can do too. But I don't think it's something that warrants freaking out, which I didn't freak out. I was nervous. I was worried. I was confused. Obviously I was a little nervous about it, but at the end of the day, it wasn't anything malevolent. So thankfully.
Yeah, that's definitely good, because you don't want to get that started at all. No.
And I don't really go to places that are known for that activity. I try to frequent places that I know have lighter energy. So
that's good. So I don't want to like derail the conversation, but I'm really, really interested in this. So I'm a Christian, and I don't know what your beliefs are, but one thing that's interesting to me, because I've heard a lot of interviews of people who don't believe in God, don't believe in Jesus, but when they invoke the name of Jesus, that things happen. Mm-hmm. You know, like say if I was in the situation, and well, I have been there, I always say, you know, in Jesus' name, you cannot follow me home. You know, no. What do you think is going on with that? Because that name, even if you don't believe in it, it for some reason has power. What do you have any?
I don't think I have the answer, but all I can say is I also grew up Catholic, and I wouldn't say I'm super religious, but I do believe there is, you know, a higher power. And I grew up with prayers. I'd say prayers pretty regularly. And I do think that there's got to be some connection. And you're right. It is just something that it's hard to deny, and it's hard to debunk that when just the mere mention of the name can potentially make get a reaction. And you know, we've all, I'm sure you've done, you know, extensive research on exorcisms and all kinds of, you know, involvement from the church with the paranormal, and it's not something that's new. It's certainly not a new topic. It's something that has been going on since recorded history. And I do also agree that there is something to do with the connection between, you know, between Jesus, between God, and evil energy. I couldn't put my finger on it exactly, but I think it's worth studying, and I think it's worth people researching. And I don't think it's something to anybody should be turning their nose up about, because. And also, you know, with the Jewish religion too. I mean, there are Jewish traditions that rid negative energies. There's something to do with a spiritual battle between good and evil. That age old battle. That it's. I do think there's something to it. I don't know, but wish I had the answers.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard it like across the gambit of all supernatural things, like UFOs, Bigfoot, Dogman, all everything. If you use the name of Jesus, it stops everything. Mm-hmm. It's so, I mean, I know it's real, but it's, you know, it's so, I don't want to say weird because I don't think it's weird, but people would think it's weird, like, because it transcends everything, you know, like ufology. I mean, everything. It's just so weird. But now, okay, talking about the Jewish faith, I know you probably remember this back, I guess a few years ago, it was really big, the Dybbuk boxes, where they would take, in Jewish tradition, they would take these boxes and bind spirits to them. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people were selling them online. They're, you know, most of them probably fake, but that's another thing. It's so weird that, you know, that they would bind spirits inside these boxes. And I don't know if they're evil entities or, you know, whatever they think they are, but it's just weird. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it.
And it's scary to think that you can come upon something like that at a thrift shop.
Yeah, definitely. But also, you know, you would think you would try to, if there's spirits, you think you would try to help them transcend or go, you know, away from this plane of existence to get, you know, freedom or whatever you want to say. But why would, it's so weird that they would bind them in a box and make them stay here on this plane. You know, I mean, it's just weird to me.
And it also seems like a recipe for disaster because you're just going to piss it off.
Definitely. 100%. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, that's how a horror movie starts.
I know.
Kids, you know, up in their attic. Oh, what's this box grandma has? And horror movie.
I know. And, you know, I don't know the exact name off the top of my head. I would have to look into what podcast I heard it on. But there was a podcast I was listening to recently that the famous Dybbuk box that Zach Bagans now owns, supposedly the man who was the original owner came out and said that the whole thing was a hoax and that he created the story, he created all of the drama, he created all of it because he basically said that he was bored and he wanted to see if anybody would believe it and it was an experiment. And then all the different owners that had it had crazy experiences. And some people theorized that it was because they had the notion in their mind that something evil was in it. So then therefore they created something, they almost manifested something. And I think some people have done research with the theory of the Philip experiment, where people can actually will something like that into existence by wanting it so bad or by believing it's there. So it's an interesting topic to chew on too, because clearly people have experimented on these boxes, in that particular box, that famous one. And a lot of people have recorded paranormal activity, including, you know, Mr. Bagans putting it in the museum. And it's no denying there's something in it, but the idea is how did something get in it and what is in it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that is the, it goes way back. I think it's called Tibetan thought forms or something like that. Mm-hmm. Where the Tibetan monks would all sit around and chant and think of a certain thing and they would manifest it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have that correctly. But there's, that is like the whole reason why people say that, you know, like Slender Man and the Rake, stuff that was creepypastas, all these people, you know, millions of people seeing this on the internet start believing in it. So then it brings it into reality.
Right. And I think that the Philip experiment, if I'm remembering it correctly, it was a group of paranormal investigators on a kind of like a, I don't know if it was a con or some sort of a get together. And they created a name and they created a personality and they all started investigating and then eventually communicating with a spirit that they basically made up. And they were getting evidence to suggest there was a spirit that was interacting with them that they created. So it's an interesting, it is a really cool, I think that falls under a really cool experiment idea to look into those sort of things, because are we manifesting what's haunting us?
Yeah.
Or is it something there?
Yeah, that's a possibility. But also, you know, there is, if you take the darker side and you think, oh, you know, the demonic, I know a lot of people are like, oh, demonic, entities, then, you know, they have their own opinion of if they're real or if they're not real or, you know, whatever. I think they're real. but they will mimic like loved ones or something like that. So if, you know, maybe if there was a demonic entity around, they're like, oh, Philip. Oh, they want to talk to Philip.
Yes.
Let's go, boys. You know?
Yes, that's a really, really good theory on that. I really like that. I've actually never thought of that before. And I think you're absolutely right, because a lot of times negative energies will pose as children to get your trust, because, you know, who's not going to want to talk to an innocent little child spirit? And then, and that's why a lot of times they, you know, it's suggested to, you know, before you start interacting with the child, see if you can determine, is it really a kid or not? And it's, that's why. That's really good.
Yeah, I had a child entity contact me once on a spirit box, and it was very weird. So as soon as it said something, I was like, nope, I'm done. I'm leaving. So, so, and it said monsters.
Oh,
so it was very creepy. Well, I was asking the area I was in, I was asking, about like Bigfoot, and like dogman werewolves, because I heard they were supposed to be in the area, and, the little girl's voice just said monsters like that. Like it had a cadence like monsters. It was so weird.
That's creepy.
And I said, nope. Turned it off. It's on video. I said, turn it off and left. Like, no, thank you.
Yeah, that's wild. I don't like, I have to preface that. We do investigate at a school, but I think that the energies there are not necessarily all children. I think a lot of people just go there because it's a safe place. It's a safe location, but because we get people from of all different ages, but I do think it's a little scary and unnerving when you hear a child's voice come through a spirit box or a recorder, just because we're not really expecting it. And it's off-putting, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Especially to think that, you know, a child is trapped.
I know, yeah.
That's just sad.
It is.
But I was watching this video this morning, and it really, it's because it's something I've thought about, and I actually asked Phil about, because we talked about time slips. And when he's investigating like the Huckamuck Swamp and hearing the drumming and stuff, I'm like, do you think that's like an echo of the past or a time slip? You're hearing like Native Americans from, you know, way back when, you're just, you know, the times overlapping. Well, I saw this video, and this guy was talking. He was using the spirit box. You see the spirit box to Ovilus? I can't remember. I think it was the spirit box. And he was communicating, and the person said, he asked what year it was, and they said like 2048.
Oh, I have seen this. Yes. Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. And then he said somehow he got a name, and he was able to find the person's grandfather or something online. And then he's like, this is weird. I can't talk to you anymore, or something, like, you know, quit talking to the guy, because he said, I don't know. Apparently the grandfather was into astrophysics or something like that, and time slips himself, and it was just very weird.
I really do believe that's possible.
Yeah.
I listen to a lot of those podcasts, and there's so many people that have these experiences. It just can't be a coincidence.
Yeah. The guy asking the questions was a ghost to the guy in the future. It's so weird, you know?
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I think that's totally possible. Like the whole idea of, was it residual hauntings? Mm-hmm. Where you just experience a loop, like that, you know, you see a white lady on a staircase every night at midnight or something like that, and it always happens.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I think some of it, or at least my theory on that, is I have to go with the idea that these locations where you're seeing these entities, they were built so long ago, and they were built with materials that are a little different from today. You're not going to see, you know, linoleum and formica and, you know, plywood, or, you know, any sort of materials like that. You're going to see hardwood floors. You're going to see, you know, materials that were built to last, and, you know, none of the cheap materials that a lot of homes are made with today. And I think that, you know, having a porous wood can soak in vibrations, soak in energy. Years before, I you know, got into the paranormal. I worked for a music store for about 10 years, and I worked with guitars and other acoustic instruments. And it's incredible how wood can carry a vibration, carry a tone, and it's absorbed in that wood. And I think that, you know, just like our energy is so strong, somehow maybe it could possibly imprint on these materials. And we're not seeing it as often in new homes, because perhaps that material is not porous enough. It's not able to hold on to the energy. And also, you know, certain foundations were made with quartz and limestone and other minerals that are natural energy conductors, where we're not seeing that so much anymore. So it's interesting what, you know, what can capture energy and it create these loops. And I've investigated a few locations that do wholeheartedly believe that they're just residual energy. One of the most, I think the most popular ones that I've been to that a lot of people know is the Stanley Hotel in Estes, Colorado. It's mm-hmm. built into a slab of granite, and it has quartz and limestone throughout. And you can actually go into the basement if you take the tour, and you can actually put your hand on this rock. And that is believed to be a major cause of the hauntings in the hotel, because it's an energy conductor. And maybe spirits somehow imprinted within the hotel because of that. And it's just a really interesting idea to explore, is why do certain places hold on to that loop and why others do not?
Yeah, definitely. Now, my house is also older. It was built in the 50s. So, you know, also that could be another reason, you know, there could be energy here, mm-hmm. With older materials and things. But what you're talking about, the limestone, there is a theory, it's called the stone tape theory.
Stone tape, yes.
Yeah, where, you know, like certain rocks and stuff can record and play back things, which is very interesting to me. I haven't really looked into it, but I need to look into it, because that sounds awesome.
Yeah, and, you know, it's one of those things that certain materials, you know, can conduct energy. Another popular theory is that water is a source for spiritual energy, and places that are around large bodies of water might somehow be charged by the water. And I live in Florida, and, you know, we're surrounded by water, which is maybe one of the reasons why we have a lot of haunted activities and lots of hauntings in areas. But it's certainly, there are certain theories I think make more sense for that. And I don't know what's true, what's not, but I do lean towards that a lot of the residual hauntings have to do with the materials around the home or the structure that they occur in. I think that has something to do with it.
Yeah, definitely. I wholeheartedly agree. That makes total sense. Because, in my house, we have a basement, and you can totally see the difference in wood they used back then than wood today. Seems like, I don't know, just manufactured, it's more raw, mm-hmm. not treated, not, you know, with all these chemicals and stuff on it, so it may be able to absorb more, I don't know, more yeah. energy. Just a theory, you know.
I think it's a theory that holds the most weight. It definitely makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. So I was wondering, I don't know if we covered this before, is there anything that has really frightened you that you've been a part of? Or, you know, that's really just, terrified you to death. Like, you're like, I'm never going back to do that again.
I had one other experience that was a little frightening for me. And it actually also involved a dream. So when I spoke earlier, I said, this is probably my first serious spiritual attachment. But I also had another situation happen a couple years ago. And I did a investigation at the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum in St. Augustine. And first off, I want to just start off by saying I highly do not recommend this place for any investigators. Skip it and do something else, because there's tons of really cool places in the city that offer investigations. But this particular investigation, it was loaded with tons and tons of kids and people running around, not understanding how to conduct themselves as investigators. And anybody who was actually there to really research and use a recorder or a spirit box or anything like that, just it was overshadowed by screaming kids. So that's why I don't recommend it. But as I was leaving, there was this really creepy doll. Now, the doll is, I think they nicknamed it Papa Doc. Now, this doll was, it was previously owned by a Haitian, I believe it was from Haiti, dictator. And this doll supposedly told him to do various atrocities. And the doll eventually made its way to Ripley's, believe it or not. I'm not sure exactly when. However, the doll was, it was in talks with the Ripley's, probably the company, to move it to a different property. And when they were talking about moving it, all kinds of bad things started happening to the staff and to the building itself. And somebody suggested, hey, I think it's the doll. The doll doesn't want to go. So they decided to keep the doll. Now, this doll, if you look it up online, is terrifying. It is really scary looking, and, you know, I had a really terrible night. It was the last 10 minutes, and most of the kids were shuffling on the way out, and I hung back, and I did a quick EVP session with this doll, and I got a very creepy, kind of growly response, and it kind of shook me a little bit, considering I thought to myself right after I did it, I said, you know what, I probably shouldn't have done that. And I left, and I was only in St. Augustine one night because I was going off to other, I think I was on my way to Savannah. And that night I also had really crazy dreams, but it wasn't anything like the story I just told you. But the dreams I was having were just horrible. Just, it was almost as if I was watching a news broadcast of just horrible world issue after another, accidents, plane crashes, just terrible things happening to humanity. It was just kind of like playing through this dream. And I woke up thinking to myself, it's the doll. And I went to, there was this local witch shop that I always stop into. It's called My Cauldron Too. And they sell sage and all kinds of witchy stuff. So I just went in there and I said, I'm here to get some white sage. And I went out to the parking lot. My husband just walked around me with the sage, and everybody was probably looking at me like I was completely nuts. But I needed to do that, and I was fine afterwards. It really did kind of, left me shook, because as soon as I did it, I thought to myself, you know, that wasn't a good idea, because you know that this thing is really negative. And as I mentioned earlier, I don't really seek negative locations. I don't seek out the Bobby Mackey music world or, you know, the lunatic asylum. I usually seek out places that are a little lighter. And by doing that, I was frustrated because I couldn't explore the location, and that was on the way out. And I said, you know what, I'm just going to try to do something before I leave. And I immediately regretted it. And I kind of, now that I've been investigating a little longer, especially with a group of people, I am a little more cautious as to what type of things I approach. And if I had a chance to do that all over again, I definitely wouldn't have done any sort of EVP with that doll, because I heard a growl on my recorder. I don't know if I still have a recording of it, but it sounded a little demonic. It was a growling sound. And you know, at that point, everybody pretty much had left. It was just my husband and maybe one or two other people, but they weren't anywhere near us. So I don't think there could have been any reason for that sound to show up on the recorder. You know, you try to debunk these things, and it was unsettling.
Yeah, definitely. That is creepy. I was getting creeped out when you were telling me the story about the doll just before you even said the growling. Gosh, that's so weird. And I never thought about exploring or doing an investigation at Ripley's. Is that something they do at all the Ripley's?
I don't know if they do it at all the Ripley's, but the one in St. Augustine does it, and they don't put a age limit. And the thing is that it's kind of, and nothing against ghost tours. I love ghost tours. I take them all the time. But if I go on a ghost tour, I'm not expecting to investigate. They sort of bill this experience as a ghost tour. And so people, if you go on a ghost tour, you don't have to be quiet. You don't have to, you know, respect other people doing an EVP session. And that's the difference. And they don't educate people when they arrive, and they don't give them the tools that they, you know, the explanation of how to use the tools. And they just hand people a K2 meter and a laser pointer, and they say, okay, guys, go nuts. And it's almost a disservice, because maybe those people, if they were given the right opportunity to learn how to investigate, would have a much better experience. But yeah, they don't know. So it's not really fair to get mad at them. It was more of, I was annoyed with the staff, I guess, for not, don't call it a paranormal investigation and not give any sort of inkling as to how to behave on a paranormal investigation. So that was like kind of why I was annoyed by it, but it is a cool property and they do daytime tours also. I would actually be more inclined, I think, if I went back to do a daytime tour self-guided and just bring a recorder and see what I can find, because there are a lot of objects that in there in that museum that they say could potentially be haunted. And the building itself is actually a very, very old, and I don't remember the exact year, but it was one of the original really grand mansions built in St. Augustine. And it went through a few different hands before it became the Ripley's Museum. But the building itself is thought to be haunted from whoever lived there prior. And then you throw in all the other objects, and then you have yourself a little paranormal party.
Yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, we have a Ripley's here in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And I've been there a few times, and I just, you know, I'm just thinking about all the objects that are there. And I'm like, man, they're that could be a crazy place. Also, we have a Titanic museum, and it's supposed to be really haunted.
I've heard about that.
Yeah, it's supposed to be crazy haunted, which I can imagine. Mm. I mean, that such a tragedy would definitely imprint on objects, you know?
Mm-hmm. I would love to. I know there's a traveling thing in Orlando, but it's just, it's a little too far for me to get up to check it out. But I would love to visit one of those exhibits just because, you know, growing up, you always hear that story. And then, of course, the movie. And, you know, it just, it's one of those things that I think everybody can find some sort of connection to that story and obviously feel bad for all of the people that perished. And it's just such a, you know, a horrible situation in humanity. And of course, you know, we learn so much from that tragedy. But I would love to see it in person. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah, definitely. So speaking of dolls, I'm going to have to ask, have you ever went to visit Robert the Doll since you're down in Florida?
I want to really badly, but unfortunately right now for locals, it's really hard to get down to Key West because the cost of hotels in the Keys, in Key West, because Key West is the farthest key. Mm-hmm. In Key West, the cheapest hotel room that you're going to find right now, if you searched, is going to be around $400 or $500. Which is just a lot. That's a lot of money. And now some other people have suggested, why don't you stay in a higher key and drive down, which personally I would not like to do, because the thing about the Keys is it's one way in and one way out. It's just one lane and one lane. The amount of people that die in drunk driving accidents on that road is astronomical. If you're driving around that road, it's every couple feet there's, you know, drive safely signs and someone's name on it, because people get really tanked in the Keys and they drive. And it's personally, I don't want to drive at night on those roads, because even if you're safe and you're sober and you're doing the right thing, there are people that drive without their lights on. You don't even see them. They could be driving in the wrong lane. It's just, I would have too much of an anxiety to do that. And I think the closest key is about that you can stay at might be almost an hour, 45 minutes north. So I just would feel a little uncomfortable about it. But I have had that place on my radar. I've been to the Keys many times, just not recently. And I really, since I started doing the paranormal, I really haven't been down that far. And I usually, when I vacation, I oftentimes will stay in the northern Keys, Key Largo, Isle Mirada, and the top Keys. Because it's a little less of a drain on travel time. Because from where I live, it's about 3.5 hours. But the problem is, as I mentioned, one way in and one way out. If there's a lot of traffic, that 3 hours can turn into a 5 or 6 hour drive. And on any sort of holiday weekend, it's a no-go for me. But I've been off season and it's been so pleasant. Because if you're able to go off season in Florida, you know, when the weather's a little cooler and maybe not as many tourists, it's more pleasant, I think. And I'm kind of keeping my eye open for, I'm constantly checking, but that is a really cool spot. And I've heard a lot of great reviews about it. And I certainly do really believe that there is something to do with that doll. And, you know, the amount of people that have had experiences with that doll before it went to the museum, is pretty eye-opening, I would say. There are police officers, firefighters, doctors, lawyers that have gone on record saying that they have experienced activity with the doll. So it's just one of those things I do really, really believe is worth checking out. And I would love to go. I know it's a really long answer to that, but it's hard to get down there.
So I did an experiment this past year, and it didn't really work out like I had hoped. So we went on a cruise. Trying to think of where we cruised out of. It was right above Miami.
I know where you were, at a port Everglades.
No, not Everglades. It was below Everglades. Gosh, it's like a suburb of Miami, because I'm a big soccer fan, so the Miami soccer field is in that town.
Biscayne?
No. this is great. Anyway, somewhere in Florida, we cruised out of, right, the port. I'll find it online when I'm talking. And so I was on the ship, and I know a lot, you know, there's a lot of times that passengers will pass away on a cruise ship. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't think about that, but they actually have a morgue on the cruise ship. They have an actual hospital. Mm-hmm. So I took my spirit box with us on this cruise, and I was like, I'm going to do an investigation one night of the cruise and just see what happens. So nothing happened. I hate to say nothing happened, but there's so many kids running around and everything. I couldn't find a quiet spot. I turned the spirit box on once. So what I was thinking is, we're in the middle of the ocean. Mm-hmm. No radio stations, no radio frequencies. So anything that came through the spirit box would definitely be legit, you know? Mm-hmm. So all I got was static. The one place I found to do it, but like I said, it was so hard, and I only had like 5 minutes without people coming around, and they were looking at me weird, because I had my GoPro camera, and I'm like, is it? Who am I talking to now? And they're just like, what is going on? So, you know, but yeah, it's hopefully, because my family and I, it's one of the cheapest vacations you can take.
I know. I love it too for that.
Yeah. So next time I'm going to definitely try to find a quiet spot and set up and see if I can get some communication. Cause we were going, I don't know if we were in the Bermuda Triangle yet, but we were close to it. So that, I mean, surely I can pick up on something. I would like to go on the front of the ship, on the front deck. I went there during the daytime, mm-hmm. but I didn't even think about taking the spirit box during the day, because, you know, it works whenever, usually.
Yeah,
but,
and you can see what you can get, especially if you're willing to kind of stay up really late at night when everybody's, you know, for the most part asleep. Maybe you can go down 2 or 3 in the morning and see if you get anything.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was around... It was around 12:30 or 1 when I was out doing it. But I mean, gosh, okay. So I'm a parent, right? What are these people thinking? I mean, Lynn, they're 12, 13-year-olds. Just like run around the ship after midnight. No parents. I'm like, what is going on? This is crazy to me. I would never let my kids do that.
Yeah, you have to think about predators. I mean, predators exist on cruise ships too. And you have to be careful that someone doesn't take your kid into a room.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think it's maybe even a little worse on cruise ships.
Yeah, I think so too. Because,
I mean, everyone's drinking, and I mean, gosh, and, you know, girls these days, I mean, they mature faster mm-hmm. than they used to. So, I mean, who knows? I mean, a drunk guy could, you know, pick up a young girl, you know, without realizing. I mean, who knows? Maybe he did realize. I don't know. I'm just saying, it's very dangerous.
It's dangerous for that. And there's also, you hear about so many people that get into fights and on cruises because they're drinking way too much. And then you hear about people that get thrown overboard because they're in an altercation with someone and everybody's wasted. And it happens a lot. It happens a lot on cruises.
I mean, I am kind of overprotective. So my daughters, you know, we were walking by and there's like these drunk guys. I'm like, give me your hands. Give me your hands. Going back to the room right now, you know. but you know, it's not that I'm overprotective. I think I'm a good parent, you know, for keeping my kids safe. you know, I'm not letting them run wild on a cruise ship.
Yeah, but it's for good reason, though. It's just not a really great idea. And I think some people just want to, like, you know, go on these cruises just to let go and not have to worry about anything. And it may not be the safest place for a kid at 2 in the morning. And especially with access to alcohol, and it's just not a great idea.
No, not at all. Okay, I'm on the map here. I'm zooming in on Florida. So it is, hold on. Fort Lauderdale?
Fort Lauderdale. So the port is Port Everglades.
Yeah, is that called Port? Okay. So you were right.
But yes, it's right by, there's
not like you live there or anything.
It's right by, it's close to Miami. And it's why a lot of people cruise out of that port is you could take a 5-minute taxi from the airport to the port, and it's just very accessible to tourists. And I think it's easier in that port versus the one in Miami, because there's another port in Miami. I want to say it is close to South Beach, but that one's harder because it's a much longer drive to get to. So I think more tourists do tend to take the one that you took. There's more ships that depart from that port.
It was nice. I mean, I really enjoyed it. We went on Royal Caribbean, but
you know, oh, you did. I did a Royal Caribbean too.
We did. We're talking about cruising now, guys. So ghost to cruising. we did a Carnival cruise for our first cruise as a family. And actually, we kind of liked it better than Royal Caribbean, because we always heard that Carnival's the party ship, but it's a lot more fun for a family than Royal Caribbean's kind of older, more laid back.
See, I like that because I don't have kids and I'm not really a party animal, and I like the more chill. But I did Royal Caribbean and I did the Celebrity by Royal Caribbean, and that was my favorite. My parents go on Carnival all the time and they enjoy it. I haven't been on a Carnival though.
Yeah, I thought the food was better on Carnival. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just the Royal Caribbean, we had unlimited Starbucks, so that was great.
Oh, hell yeah.
I love coffee so much. Me too. I mean, I just drink it all day.
Death before decaf. That's what I always say. Yeah,
definitely, 100%. All right, well, I want to thank you again for coming on and chatting with me. But I want to really get your whole group on here. I know we've been talking about it, so coming up, I don't know, soon, hopefully we can get everything together and get everybody on, because I think that would be an awesome show.
Thank you. We would love to come on, and thank you again for having me. This was really fun, and I loved, you know, talking with you about theories and about all things paranormal, so I really appreciate the opportunity to come on.
Yeah, thank you. Once again, tell everybody where they can find you.
I am Gina Black, and you could find me at She Haunts on Instagram and TikTok.
Thank you very much, and I'm Jason. AFK Discussions, follow us wherever you do social media, and remember, 5-star reviews, always 5-star reviews. All right, guys, peace.